We'll share. I have no idea how this is gonna go. Like I told you, I can't really prepare that much. I don't have koyach, I don't have energy. But we'll do the best that we can. All right. So we're gonna start. It's a little uncomfortable here how I set it up with the computer. Let me just see how I can reconfigure this maybe a little better. All right. I think it's better like this. Okay. Just give me one moment. Reconfigure. All right. Good. Okay. Can you hear me? Are you able to hear me? Are you able to hear me? Okay. Good. Okay. Here we go. Okay. All right. Let's begin.
I can hear you. Yeah, we hear
good.
You.
Okay. Good. Let's begin. We're gonna do the Parashas HaShavua. Okay. Pasuk by pasuk. We'll try to go fast. We're not here for chidushim. We're just here to learn basic pshat. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the midbar of Sinai. Be'oil Moed in the tent of meeting. Hashem spoke to Moshe. It was in the midbar. We're giving us over here a detailed the coordinates, the GPS coordinates. It's in the midbar of Sinai in the oil Moed, the date be'echod lachodesh hasheni. It is Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Okay, it's the first day of the second month. Bashana Hashenis, the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Litzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and from the time they left Mitzrayim, Lemar. We have to appreciate this, that in our today, when we go to a wedding and they announce the date, they announce Libriya Soilam. It's Tavshin Ayin Pei, 5, 7, 8, 0 years from Libriyas HaOlam, from creation, Leminyan She'anu Moinin Kan, here in Brooklyn, New York. That's not the way it was always done. Traditionally, it was counted, time was counted from different events. Originally, it was counted from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Then it was counted from the time, I don't know exactly, but maybe from the time they built the Beis HaMikdash, and then they started counting from the appointment of a new king. And then they counted for many years from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Alexander the Great probably had the most influence on Klal Yisrael in this regard, that when he did not destroy Klal Yisrael at the request of Shimon HaTzadik, a new system of counting began. It was called Leminyan Hashtaros. And that Leminyan Hashtaros corresponds to Alexander the Great. It corresponds to the time when he conquered the world. And that was part of his influence. He recognized that he could not destroy Klal Yisrael directly. He wanted to destroy them indirectly. They should calculate their time starting with him, with Alexander the Great. They should name their children Alexander. If your name is Alexander and you date your existence on every wedding, they count today is this date, which is 10 years from the time of the rise of Alexander the Great, which we call Leminyan Shetarois. You can imagine subtly how it affected Klal Yisrael. It sunk, it began to seep into Klal Yisrael, his influence, which led ultimately to the Golos of Yavan. He was very wise, Alexander the Great, in the tent. Okay, so these are the basic things over here. Over here, the Pasuk is telling us a very big story. We're counting over here, Litzeis. The counting is taking place, Liyatzias Mitzrayim, Rashi, Vayidaber. Rashi, we have to appreciate, by the way, one of the things about Rashi is that Rashi was he wasn't the inventor, he wasn't the one who invented this principle, but he is probably the one that expanded upon it. And more than anyone, the Dibur HaMaschil. Until Rashi, in time of the Kadmonim, there was no such thing as a Dibur HaMaschil. A commentator would just explain things. He wouldn't start with a quotation in a pasuk, in a word. He would here we have Rashi, Vayidaber, period. B'midbar Sinai, and every word, we're not going to try to extrapolate every single word of Rashi, we're just going to go through the basics. Vayidaber, B'midbar Sinai, b'echol l'chodesh, mitoch shchibosan l'fonav, Rashi writes, because of the love that Klal Yisrael have before Hashem, Moine oisam kol shah, Hashem counts them continuously. Kishayatsu b'mitzrayim min ha'om, Hashem counted us when we left Mitzrayim. Uchshenaflu be'egel min'am. When we fell at the egel, Hashem counted us. Leida minyan ha'noisarim. To know how many survivors there were. Uchshabal ha'shoy shechinasay aleihem. Or besoicham. There are two different gerusais. Min'am. Hashem counted a third time. Rashi says the yesoid. Hashem counts Klal Yisrael at three different times. When Hashem selected us, when we need to know the survivors, and when Hashem wants to give us a gift. Each type of counting represents an entirely different principle, and this is what Rashi here is explaining, the Chol She'ah, at every moment. Three elements to a She'ah. It's the incipient stage, it's after a Churban to know the survivors, and the third counting is when Hashem wants to give us something special. Okay, then he goes on to say, Be'echad b'Nisan, hukam ha-Mishkan. Then Rashi writes here, on the first day of Nisan, the Mishkan was erected. The Mishkan was erected exactly 1 year after Yitzias, Yitzias Mitzrayim was on the 15th day of Nisan. So the Mishkan was erected a year minus 15 days from Yitzias Mitzrayim. 1 year minus 15 days. Uve'echad bi'iyar, and a year plus 15 days, min'am, Hashem counted Klal Yisrael. Okay, now the Targum, there's a lot of mefarshim on the Targum here. Here we go, the Targum, Umalil Hashem and Moshe. The word Umalil, we spent a lot of time this morning, means the Dibur. The translation of the word Vayidaber is Malil. Malil is not an Aramaic word. It is a Hebrew word. We learned this today. It says this word twice in Tanakh. And once we say in Rosh Hashanah, we lane, Mi Milel LaAvraham. Sarah Imenu said, who is the one? Who is the one? It's an expression of praise. Mi Milel LaAvraham. Who is the one that promised Avraham, who spoke to Avraham and promised he would have a child and was truthful to his word? It's Hashem. So it's really a Hebrew word. It is the translation of the word Dibur, Umalil Hashem in Moshe, Bimad Bira de Sinai, in the desert of Sinai, Bimashkan Zimna. Now this is explosive. The word here, Zimna, if we just had a shear for this alone, it would be worth it. What does it mean, the word Zimna? When someone will ask you to translate the words, the Ohel Moed. The Ohel Moed is the words the Torah uses, the term that the Torah uses to describe the Mishkan. The Ohel Moed. What is the Ohel Moed? It is the tent of meeting. Isn't that how we commonly translate the word Moed? It is a place where Hashem meets with Klal Yisrael. Moed is Vad. A Vad means a place where we come together. That is not what the Targum says. The Targum disagrees with that translation. He translates the word Zimna, time. And this can mean one of two things. I have here a sefer on Targum that explains this pasuk to mean one of two things. The Ohel Moed was a temporary structure. It was a tent, a place for Hashem to rest his Shekhinah just for the time being, temporarily. It was never meant to be a permanent structure. The permanent structure would be the Beis HaMikdash. So it's the Ohel Moed. It's just for the time. Or Zimna means that Hashem spoke to Moshe occasionally. There were set times when Hashem would send a message, Moshe, I want to speak to you, come here. The presence of the Shekhinah was not permanent in the Ohel Moed as it was in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's presence was kavua. It was there 24/7. in the tent of meeting, the Targum says, is b'mashkan zimna. It was a tent of the time. When Hashem wanted to rest His presence, it was there. And when Hashem chose not to be there, it was not there. It was there on and off, back and forth. Hashem was trying to save the environment. So when He's not there, He turned off the lights. In the Beis HaMikdash, the lights were always on. Who cares about the environment? The lights are always on. Who cares about paying the bills? That is, so this is a very incredible thing, that the translation of the Ohel Moed, we've been fooled our whole lives. They've told us it means the tent of meeting. The Targum is much more basic than Rashi. Targum goes back way before Rashi, way, way before Rashi. In fact, Chazal say the Targum was given at Sinai, and it was forgotten. And Uncleus Hager, he restored somehow the ancient Targum, the most basic translation of the Psukim. And all of the old Chumashim translate basic, more often than not, the old Chumashim with the translation of the Targum and not the translation of Rashi. Art Scroll was the first, almost, the first translator that decided that we are going to ignore the Targum and we're going to work with and ignore, but we're going to favor, when in doubt, the Rashi over the Targum. And obviously they had reason to do so. They had probably very good reason to do so, because unfortunately the beauty and the depth of the Targum has been lost from the vast majority of us. And when we start translating Sukkim and not know what we're saying, we get into a lot of trouble. So at least let us seize hold of Rashi, who's the Rabban Shel Yisrael, when Rashi clearly defines his meaning, even though more often than not, Rashi is in disagreement with the Targum. Today we have a plethora of Sfarim that have expounded upon the Targum to restore to the Machzir Atara Liyoshna. And this is a great example, the Ohel Moed. If you'll ask anyone that you know in the street, they will tell you it means the tent of the meeting. Miloshon Vaad, Targum, there's no such thing. It's the Mashkan, the tent of the time. And which means either it was temporary, it was not meant to be a permanent structure, or Hashem only visited this location occasionally. Okay, next, further in the Targum, B'chal Liarcha, Tinyana, on the first day of the month, Tinyan, Liyarcha Sinyana, the second month, Bishata Sin Yesa, in the second year, Limi Pakoin. Pakoin means the exit, Me'ara de Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, Limeimor, saying. Okay, the Mefarshim here, they dwell upon Me'ara de Mitzrayim, and they compare it to other usages of the Targum in reference to other lands. And it would appear, if we were referring to the land of Egypt, the nation, it should say Me'ara de Mitzra'i, or something along that line. The fact that the Targum selected the word de Mitzrayim, the Mefarshim want to learn that here the Pasuk means the land of Mitzrayim, the son of Cush. We're now referring here to the land, the nation of Egypt, according to the Targum. If you look in the article translation, you would say the land of Mitzrayim means Egypt. There's a nation, a major, major league nation called Egypt, a super world power. No, that's not what the Targum, if that was correct, that it would say Me'ara de Mitzrayi. There are other, I don't know the exact terminology, there are other words that would indicate that the Targum would be referring, the way the Targum elsewhere translates the nation of Egypt, that would be the appropriate expression to use here. The fact that over here that I use the word the Mitzrayim, the Pasuk over here is coming almost to insult Egypt. You're nothing. You're just a piece of earth that was given Yerusha to a person whose name was Mitzrayim, who was the son of Cush. Okay, the son, the go through the Yichus of Noach, all Noach's children, I don't know the Yichus Balpeh, and he was just a person. He happened to own this piece of land. We're not even going to give this nation even credit that they're called a nation. Okay, next, Pasuk Beis, Se'u, lift. Now, Se'u is another very controversial word. Se'u over here, we're going to say it means to count. Okay, we're going to loosely translate the word Se'u, count, Esroish, What does it mean, Rosh? Rosh means the head. Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, of the entire assembly, Lemishbechoisam, based Lemishbechoisam, which seems mean according to their family, Levesavoisam, and each family in turn is going to be related to their parents, to their common father, B'mispar Shemois. What is the meaning of the word mispar? We'll assume now means the number. Mispar means according to the number of names, called Zohar, only males, Ligulgil Loisam, according to their skull, their head. That's a very complicated pasuk if you ask me. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Bey says, L'mishpachosam da, Hashem says to Moshe, da, I want you to know, minyan kol shevet v'shevet. Okay, so over here, Rashi is coming to decipher the pasuk. When it says over here, L'mishpachosam is not a command to count. It's not just a command to count the total sum, the census. We want to know how many souls are there in the Jewish people. When Klal Yisrael came down to Egypt, it was 70. So now there are 600,550. No, that's not what I want. I want also to know that there are 12 tribes. I want a tally of how many people are in each tribe. That's what it means, L'mishbechoisam. Da, minyan kol shevet v'shevet. Next, L'vesavoisam. What's the meaning of these words according to Rashi? Misha'avim b'shevet echad, v'ima b'shevet acher. It's coming to tell you over here how to define. This is a very important pasuk. How does a person define his shevet if he comes from a mixed marriage? If his mother comes from one shevet, his father from another shevet? Misha'avim b'shevet echad, v'ima b'shevet acher, yakum al shem aviv. Okay, we follow, that's the meaning, l'veis avoysam, we follow the father. Next, l'gul guloysam. What does it mean, l'gul guloysam? I want you to count their skulls. Alidei Shekolim Beka Lagogoyles. Rashi is adding into the pasuk that Moshe was not allowed to count them by name. Not allowed to look. Rather, each person shall give a coin. And when they give a coin, Moshe will count a coin. So Lamaskanu, the pasuk very quickly again. Su'u, count. Es Rosh. Rosh means the Rosh. So Rashi is not translating the word Rosh. We'll have to go to the Targum in one moment. Es Rosh, which means the sum, as kol adas bnei yisrael l'mishpachosam, I want to know how many members there are in each shevet. How does a person define his shevet? If his mother is from one shevet and his father from another shevet, the answer is leveis avoisam, with the father. B'mispar shemois. What does it mean? What does it mean here, b'mispar shemois? According to the number of names. The number called Zohar, only males, Legul Goloisam, according to their skulls, and Rashi adds in, we know from elsewhere, you must count them indirectly. Targum, Pasuk Beis Kabilu. Immediately, the Unkelus disagrees with, is telling us something, Rashi didn't comment. Kabilu does not mean to count. Kabilu means accept. Okay, it's hard, I don't even have a good trick. Kabilu does not mean to count. It means Kabilu, you shall accept a yos chushban. Su'u can mean really, kabilu means, I'm not exactly sure what it means. Okay, I'm not going to make up things I don't know here. Kabilu means don't go out and literally count 1, 2, 3, 4. Su means accept. It does not mean to elevate. That's not what, that would be a different word. Accept yos the chushban. The word Rosh does not mean don't count their heads. Count the tally. Why? So in this Sefer I have, he explains why is Rosh called a tally? Because when you count, let's say you count dollar bills. Think about it today. Person has a stack of dollar bills. What do people do? You go count all the dollar bills. You take a rubber band. And on the top bill, you write down 100. Or you write down 50. Now I'm sure the government's not very happy that you're writing things down on their property. But who cares, right? Who cares? People do a lot worse things. The government tells you to stay indoors and people are going out and having parties. Okay, the government doesn't want you to go put your ink on their dollar bills, but people, they take $100 bills and they write on the top 100. Which bill did you write the number? On the Rosh. On the Rosh. On the top bill. So when it says over here, Su'u, I want you to accept from your, in other words, I want you, Moshe, you stay home. Send out a committee, a commission appoint a czar, appoint officers, let them go out and send out, make phone calls, cold calls, and bang on doors and knock people's heads to get the tally of how many people there are in the Jewish people. You sit home in your house and accept from your commissioner, Es Rosh, the total sum. And we call the sum Rosh because when you count something, you write the number on the top item of what you have counted. $100 bills on the Rosh, on the top dollar bill in the rubber band, is where you write down the number 100. Further into our group, okay, the Kenisha Adas is the assembly, the Bnei Yisrael, Lizar Ayas Hoin. Now he says the Mishpacha is the seed. Okay, that's a very unusual word for a Mishpacha, the Zera, a family. We would expect a family is, you know, a collection of people. No. A family takes us back to their earliest stage. That's what he says. Lezar ayasoin. I don't know more than that. Leves avo hasoin. According to their fathers, whatever that means. Okay. Once we said the zera that comes from their father, b'minyan according to the number, shemohon of their names, kol duchra every male. Duchra is a male. Legul gilas hoin. According to their heads. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Mi ben Eshem Shno V'mala. 20 years up. Kol Yoytzei Tzava B'Yisrael.
What happened to an uncle? What happened to the Rosh?
The Rosh, I said, that is the Cheshbon. The Rosh does not mean a physical head. Rosh means the Sach Yos Chushban is the word Rosh. Rosh is a metaphor, according to the Targum. I want you, Moshe, to accept the total calculation of the entire assembly of the Jewish people. Why is the word Rosh called the tally? Like I explained, if you have $100 bills, you count them, you put them in a rubber band, and you write down 100. Where do you write down 100? On the top dollar bill in your bundle. So the top dollar bill is called the Rosh relative to the $99 bills underneath.
Okay.
So that's what, yeah.
Yep. The point of that, the uncle is the same as Arias home, you're questioning it. Maybe uncle is coming to tell us what Rashi is telling us. That's how we have to count. From the father, the
base of our son. Okay, Rashi's much more elaborate. Rashi says, Da minyan shevet v'shevet. The uncleist doesn't say that. He doesn't say such poetic, such elaborate information. He just says, the zera that comes from the father, lebeis av asoin. He doesn't say the word shevet. He makes no mention. According to Unkelis, maybe it's Masha. No, he disagrees with Rashi. He says that I want you to count every single person. According to Rashi, the only thing that we're really counting is the only counting of the Shvatim. According to Rashi, there is no command here mentioned that I want to know the total number of Jewish people. That's irrelevant for me, Hashem says. You can do the math. After you go and you do the math, you go and you figure out that there are 12 Shvatim and each Shevet has this number of people, you add them all up. Very nice. You have a total number. According to Rashi, I'm not interested. Rashi, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in knowing the total sum. I want to know how many members there are in each Shevet. And that's all I need to know. Because maybe according to Rashi, the point is the sum is greater than the parts. Maybe that's the Musar. That if you want to know the total number of Klal Yisrael, it's ridiculous. Because how could if Klal Yisrael comes together to achieve a goal, the sum is much greater than the parts. To put a number on them is ridiculous. Furthermore, Ein habrocha mitzuya ela bedavar hasamay min ayin. There is no command to count the entire Klal Yisrael. The command is to count the number of members in each Shevet. That's what Rashi says. Unkelis does not say that. Unkelis says, I want you to go count lezar ayasay leves avo hasay. Okay, he doesn't. There's obviously a lot more about the Targum than we know. Okay, we're just groping in the darkness with a lot of the Targum. A few little bits.
Second.
What?
Who's first, Unculus or Rashi?
Unculus. That's why I think that's why Art Scroll, they did something very novel, is they basically they turned away from Unculus. I think the reason why they did so was because Unculus, we don't really know the trans, we don't really know what Unculus really means to say half the time, and because we don't and we try to translate it, it becomes very misleading, and it becomes almost Christian, in what, in some of our translations. So in order to avoid that whole approach, we just go with the Rabbah and the Shel Yisrael, and we focus on Rashi. Now, Rashi is not necessarily telling you the Pshat. Rashi is telling you more. It's a mix. It's a big mix. It's a very complicated. Rashi is super duper complex. What exactly is Rashi's goal in his parish? But one thing though, Rashi, you have advantage to Rashi more so than Unculus, is that Rashi is better understood. Rashi, you're able to give a translation to Rashi and read it into the pasuk to a much greater degree than Unculus. Unculus is there's a lot of ambiguity in the words of Unculus, like this example over here. Let's go further. Okay, next, Pasuk Gimel, Niben Eshim Shavamala, 20 years old. Okay, a person who's a Ben, 20 years old, Vamal and up, called Yoitze Tzva B'Yisrael, this is the age of going out into the army of B'Yisrael. Tifkidu Oysam, you shall count them, Litziv Oysam, according to their hosts. Ata, you, who should make the counting? You, the Ahayro. Now, what does that mean, Rashi, Pasuk Gimel? Rashi says, Kol Yotzei Tzava Magid, the Pasuk is teaching you, She'en Yotzei Bat Tzava Pachos Miben Eshrim. Okay, this is a fascinating thing about Torah. The Torah is concerned about minors. You don't take a child under a certain age and force him to do activity that he's not supposed to do. In the second world, in China and all these other countries, the third nation, third world countries, they take children and they put them to work and they do things with them at ages when they really should not be involved in these things. The Torah makes a clear instruction. If you're under 20 years old, you don't go out to fight. Now, what about basic training? I don't know. I don't know all the pratim. But one thing is for certain, there is a certain thing, whatever it means, that until 20, that's it. You're not going to go out lots. What exactly called yoytze? To go out into the tzava, you can read that, whatever you want to read that to me, you can say, you'll argue, you have basic training at 16 years old, but you're not going to go into combat until you're 20 years old. Is that what it means? Or does it mean you don't even go for basic training until you're 20? I don't know. Whatever it means. But one thing we do know for sure is the Torah is very concerned about children. Until 20 years old, you're going nowhere. Kol yoytze Rashi magid, she'en yoytze bat tzava pachos mi ben eshem. Next, let's see Targum Pasuk Gimel, Mibar Asrin Shinin Ule'ela, from 20 years and up, called Nafek Chela, all those who go out with strength, the Yisrael, Timlun Yosoin L'chei Lehoin, you shall count them L'chei Lehoin in their tzava, at V'aron. If I would not know better, I would argue that when it says here tzava, it does not even mean an army. It means that until you're 20 years old, in times of peace, the word chela means strength. It means strength. You're not a healthy person. Until you're 20 years old, you're a baby. You're taking vitamins, you have a full head of hair, you are not yet in a state in your life of chela, of strength. You're still in training in life. We are brainwashed to translate the word Yotzei Tzav from Rashi. It means the army. You go out to the Tzivos Hashem. Okay, you go out to fight. To fight in the army. Who says that's what it means? Yotzei Tzav B'Yisrael Targum over here understands this to be more, appears more of a metaphor that you go out as a person of independence. Okay, in America, until you're 18 years old, you can't drink, you can't drive, you can't do this, you can't do that. When you're 18 years old, oh, you're an independent person. You have independence. You are Yotzei Tzava. You go out with strength, independence. That's what Targum seems to be saying. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going out to fight a war. We like to say the word Tzava to mean you put on a uniform and you have a weapon and you go out and you shoot. And you operate missiles, and you go into a bunker, and you shoot, and you have a remote control gadget, and you go and you take out the enemy somewhere 3,000 miles away. That's not necessarily what it means. It says over here to go out l'chei lehoin in strength. The word chela means strength. Next, pasik dalim. Itchem yu, with you shall be ish ish lamate. Okay, so over here, with you yu ish ish lamate. With you shall be each man according to his tribe. We have to see what that means in a moment. Ish rosh leves avosav hu. It says here the word ish three times. Rashi, pasik dalv itchem, what does this mean, Rashi? Kishativku oisam yu imochem nisi, when you count them, there shall be with you a prince. Kol shevet v'shevet. Hashem is telling Moshe, Aaron, and when you go to count each shevet, you meet with the governor. You meet with the prince of each shevet. So there will be together three people. Three people will be involved in the counting. Moshe, Aaron, and the Nasi of that Shevet. So one more time, the word of the Pasuk according to Rashi, with you shall be ish ish, lamate. The repetition of the word ish ish means each man according to. Each man according to his tribe. Each Shevet hath its ish. There's the ish for Reuven, ish for Shimon, ish for Levi, ish ish lamate. Ish, and we repeat itself, Roish, this man that we're going to appoint is not going to be an independent person. He's the Roish. Leves avos of who he is, the nasi of that tribe. Pasuk dalit in the Targum, v'imchon yehoin, with you there shall be gavra gavra l'shivta, a man for a tribe, gavar, a man, reish leves avosoihi, who he is the head of that family. Okay, the avosoihi of that family. It would almost seem to indicate that the Targum, if I would not know better, is disagreeing with Rashi. That Rashi says this ish is the nasi of the shevet, of the entire tribe. From the Targum, you get more the impression that no, in each, remember the Targum l'shitasa, the Targum never gave its learned pshat in the pasuk tribes. It doesn't say the word shevet anywhere in these psukim. It says the words l'mishpachosim, families. It is Rashi who told us that the translation of the mishpachosim means a shevet. The Targum didn't say that. Targum says families. So there are only 12 families, but there can be 50,000, there are only 12 Shevatim, but there can be 50,000 families. So according to Targum, when it says that Moshe and Aaron, when you go to count, when you go to each family, meet with the head of that family. Moshe and Aaron, are you going to meet with 50,000 people? According to Rashi, Moshe the Aaron is an easy job. You're going to meet with 12 people. Okay, because Rashi says a chiddush. Rashi really is the one who's the big chiddush here.
The way I was looking at it is that Rashi's concern is why the same Itchem. Who's the Itchem?
With Moshe the Aaron.
With
Moshe the Aaron. No, look at Rashi. Look at the pasuk before. The pasuk gimel tifkadu oisam, you shall count them litziv oisam, ata you the aharon, you and Aaron are going to count. Pekida means to count. The itichem yihyu, together with you Moshe the Aaron, shall be an ish ish lamate. Now here it says the word mate. Mate means a leader. Mata means, what's a leader? A person that holds a staff. Rashi learns the word lamata to mean a shevet. And Rashi's lishitasa, because when you learn Pasuk Beis, it says the word lemishbechoysam. Rashi also translated the word lemishbechoysam to mean a shevet. But the Unkelis did not translate the word lemishbechoysam to mean a shevet. He translated the word lemishbechoysam to mean a family. So here as well, when it says lamata, it means the head of each family. Ish, yeah. Rosh.
Unkelis changed the word. Leshifta. Unkelis is saying.
Imchon yon gavel leshifta. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. Leshifta. Yeah, okay, you're right. I made a mistake. I didn't realize that. You're right. Leshifta. Okay, you're right. Okay, Leshifta means a shevet, a tribe. Okay, I made a mistake. So he also translates the word lamate, okay, gevar, but here's a little bit different. Gevar, reish, leves avah soihu. So I have to revise what I'm saying is that it means in addition to the head of the shevet, it would appear that the uncle is saying that you shall also the heads of each individual family. Okay, let's go further. Now we go to Eile Shmois Hanashim Asher Yamdu Litchem. These are the names of the people. These are the names of the 12 tribes. Rashi, obviously, the Pesukim go on to list the 12 tribes. Doesn't mean that they were the only people that were involved in the counting, but Rashi, the Pesukim list the 12 tribes. Eile Shmois Hanashim Asher Yamdu Litchem. L'ruvain Elitzur Ben Shadayur. I was reading the Pesukim. L'shmon Shlumah Ben Tzrishdoy. L'udin Asher Ben Amindav. L'yisachar Nesla Ben Tzuar. L'zvulun Eliyah Ben Chilon. L'vnei Yosef L'efraim L'shom Ben Amihud. L'mashag Gamil Ben Tzur. L'vnyim L'avdi Ben Agadri. L'udin Achiz Ben Shadayit. L'asher Tagi Ben Achran. L'god L'izay Nuel. L'raftar L'chav Einon. Eile. Okay, let's stop over there. So we have over here those. That's it. There's no Rashi on any of this. There's no Rashi. And the Targum. Also, we're not going to read the Targum, just basically says exactly the same thing. Now, there's a very great Limud HaMusar in this. Today, many people have two names. You have the Hebrew name, and you have your English name. Okay, and in Germany, they even had a ceremony, a Jewish religious ceremony, when they would give a child his English, what we call English, would give him the name that he would use in business, he would use in the secular world. There is the name that you are given at your bris milah. That's the name that will call you up to the Torah. The name they're going to write in the ksuba. The name that's going to be used in all religious matters. And then you're given a name when they become 3 years old in Germany. There was a ceremony, mamash, a ceremony where they gave a child a name, a secular name that they would use. He would use in the secular world. Until recent times, it was like that. On the birth certificate, you would be given one name, and at the bris, you'd be given another name. Today, it's not in fashion. Today, it is everyone. We pretty much everyone has a. It's much more in style today, not by everyone, that the name that you give by the bris milah is what they write down on the birth certificate. It's very common. Okay, and the reason I would assume it so is because when I used to teach as an adjunct in Brooklyn College, I couldn't read the names. I get the roster, and I break my teeth reading all the Ibrahams, and all the names that are almost impossible to pronounce. So that we can't pronounce their names, so why can't we be different? Why do we have to be different? We could also be free to call us by a Kalinimus Kalman. What's so terrible? If I can't pronounce Ibrahams' second name, so why should I be embarrassed to call myself in class Kalinimus Kalman? So yet the Targum speaks volumes. When the Targum translates, he's a translator, and when he translates their Hebrew name, he doesn't give any other name. What you see is what you get. If his name in the pasuk is Achira ben Einon, that's exactly what it says in the Targum. So why even bother? Why did the Targum have to waste ink to write Lenaftali Achira ben Einon? The Targum should just skip. It's too simple. The answer is this itself is a perish. They had one identity. There's no translation. What you see is what you get. The Torah says he's called Achira ben Einon. If you want to know what's going on under the hood in his private life, the Targum means the translation of the person. Like I saw, someone sent me a joke today. They sent me a joke today, Google Translate. I don't know Yiddish. So if I want, I'll send you on the call chat to illustrate. Google Translate. I use it all the time, Google Translate. Someone sent a joke. It was Photoshopped. Due to COVID-19, the synagogue is closed. It is locked. There are no services. And then that's what they put in Google Translate in Yiddish. I don't know Yiddish. It says, the translation is, the back door is open. Going through the back door. That's a Musa Haskell for what we all are. We're a bunch of phonies. You look at a person, yeah, this is what you look like. This is how you present yourself to the world. Put on a nice dark jacket and a black hat, and you have payas. Yeah. And when behind closed doors, what are you really all about? Oh, that's a very different story. Targum says, what you see is what you get. The Targum of their name is exactly the same. Okay, well, we're running out of time. Pasuk, next pasuk is Eile, this is a kivach sif. Eile kiru ehoida. This is a hard word to translate. We'll translate now the distinguished members of society. Nisiei matais avaisam, the princes of the tribes. Roshei, they are the heads. Alfei Yisrael heim, the heads of the thousands of the Jewish people. Rashi tes zayin. Eile kirue hoeda. What is the meaning of the word kirue? Hanikroim l'chol devar chashiva shebo eda. These are the people that are called forward to represent us in all matters of importance. Okay, it's a very hard word to define. Kirue means to call. Who do you call up for the first aliyah? Who do you call up for Chasan Torah? Who do you call up when you got trouble? When there's an emergency, who do you call? Who do you call? These are the people who are called to represent the Jewish people when there is a matter of importance in front of us. When the governor wants to speak to a representative of the Jewish people, it's important. It's important that we put forward our best. These are the people that are called upon to represent the Jewish people in important matters. That's a big translation for one word. That's a very long translation. It's not easy to translate that word. Next, let's see Targum. Targum says with Elaine Me'are Kinishta. Now, what is the word Me'are Kinishta? That's a new word. I'm sure no one heard that word before. Me'are Kinishta. So let me go take a look over here. I'm going to use this sefer a lot. Ma'are kinishta. Okay, went through a lot of here. Ma'are. Okay, Korea. I have a sefer on Targum, and he basically says. He says it means to call. Okay, it's just another word for calling. Okay, it means to call. Okay, we'll leave it with that. These are it's basically the same thing as Rashi of the Kinishta. Yeah?
Uses the translation summoned. These were the ones summoned by the assembly.
Okay, it's the same idea. Okay, that's what Rashi is really saying. And Me'are, those who are summoned, they're called upon by the Kanishna Ravave, the great ones of the Shifte Avo Hashoin. He always does it. The Targum always does that. The tribes of your fathers, Reishe Alfaya, the heads of the thousands, the Yisrael Inun, they are. Okay, next. Pasuk Yitzayin, Veikach Moshe Aviaron, Eis Chon Hashem, Eila Asher Nikivu B'Shemos. Another good word that have been specified by name. These people, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu who these people are. Hashem selected these princes. They were selected. We have to understand that we live in a world of democracy. We live in a world of democracy where leaders are elected. They are appointed by the people. The leaders of the Jewish people in the Midbar were not elected. They were appointed directly by Hashem. And the word here, Nikavu, is a word which is a powerful word which means specified. They were specified with the ultimate precision by Hashem. These are the people, make no mistake about it. Rashi.
How do we know it's Hashem and not Moshe and Aaron who specified
that? Because Hashem said, because go back to Pasuk Hei. Back in Pasuk Hei, Ve'ele Shmoisu Anoshim Asher Yamdu Itchem. Hashem explicitly said, these are the people that shall stand together with you. Hashem set them aside. The Eile, these are Hashem is speaking, Shemai Swan Hashem. And now here the Pasuk repeats itself, Hashem Nikivu, it's a very powerful been specified. Rashi, Pasuk Yitzayin, Eswan Hashem, Eile, Es Shneim, Osar Nisim Halalu. It's going back. Don't make a mistake, Rashi says, don't make a mistake in this repetition. It already says the Eile Hoan Hashem. Why now does it say Hashem Nikivu B'Shemos? If not for this Rashi, you can very easily argue that here Hashem is specifying another set of people to join Moshe in counting. And to that, the Pasuk Rashi says, no, don't make that mistake. They're the same people. Hashem Nikivu Lo Kan B'Shemos. Rashi, in Targum, Pasuk Yitzayin, Udvar Moshe V'Aaron. And I'm sorry, I skipped. Oh, look at that. Yud-Zayin, Vayikach means Udvar Moshe V'Aaron. Moshe, he took. The word Udvar, when it finishes the Targum, we'll be done in 1 second. Moshe took. Okay, Moshe, he took. Only to see over here if he says anything on the word Udvar. Udvar, Pasuk Yud-Zayin. Udvar Moshe V'Aaron. Okay. Davar Hanikach Behanhogas Devodim. Okay, so he says a very nice thing over here. Udvar means, this is a very powerful point that the Targum is making. The word Dvar, according to the Sefer that I have over here, is it's only used in Tanakh by the Targum when you take with words, not when you take physically. If I have on the table a piece of food and I take it, it's Vayikach. Vayikach Pinchas Roimach. Pinchas picked up the spear to kill Cosby. He picked up a spear. No, that's what the word Vayikach means. So over here, the Targum says, don't make a mistake. I think Moshe Rabbeinu went to their tent and he physically picked them up on his shoulders and carried them to the assembly room where we're going to use you for a purpose. That's what you would be misled to believe if not for the Targum. Targum Vayikach Udvar. Udvar has a connotation where you...
My uncle says unasei.
What's... You have a different word? You have unasei?
Like in Pasuk Yud Zayin?
Yeah. You have a different word?
Yeah.
Let me see my Yud Zayin. I have here two editions. They both say Udvar. Udvar Moshe V'Aaron. I hear what you're saying. Okay, but my edition, Udvar...
Nun Sanach based unasei Moshe V'Aaron.
No, I have here the word. Okay, I have. Maybe there's another girsa. Okay, the art scroll has a very good reputation for working very hard and a very good girsa on the Targum. They got very high praise for selecting a very accurate text because there is a lot of corruption in the Unkelus. But here the word Udvar is a mouthful. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu did not physically touch these people. Moshe observed social distancing. Moshe was nizer in social distancing. Moshe, the way... No, Sifsei Chacham only talks about Rashi. Only is Rashi. Does not deal with the Targum at all. Sometimes he refers to the Targum. Okay, over here when it says he took, it means he took with words. He took with words. He zoomed in on them and told them, please join me. Join me at this assembly. Udivar. He took with words, Lashon of Dibur. That's a very powerful pshat. Because we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu, he brought the Bnei Levi into the service, he actually picked them up physically and he waved them in all six directions. He actually made with the Bnei Levi physical contact. But here there was no physical contact. Here it was a contact of Dibur. That had been specified by name. Okay, we're going to stop here. Tomorrow, whoever would like to join me, same time, 7:15. Rabbi Yisai, thank you very much for joining me. I am not insulted at all. If you find that this shir is not for you, no bad feelings. Don't worry. It's not. We're going to try to go very quickly just to cover whatever ground we can in 3 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll get as far as we can get. And next week in Yiras Hashem, we'll go to the next parasha. Okay, everyone just try to get as far as we can get, learning some. We'll try to develop a technique in going to the Rashi and the Targum and the Kishirishim. Thank you very much for joining us. A wonderful night. Be well.
Brian,
yeah.
How did you make the Zoom button work on different Zoom addresses?
I just put in a different link.
But it depends on the time you click on it?
No, it doesn't depend. It's a different page. That's a different page. I sent you a link. There are two different pages.
No, I'm not talking about it. You go to Morning Kailo.
Yeah, it's nothing changed on the homepage. On the
homepage.